Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown podcast, episode number 16. We're pretty excited for this week's episode. We'll talk a little bit of training theories, training advice from a couple of local legends, Harry Cottrell and Jarl Wahman. Jarl has been on the podcast before. This is Harry's first time. It's really going to be fun to hear from those guys and what they have to say on some of the training theories. Me personally, I'm just back from Mexico. I just got back yesterday, so yeah. I ran today, and even though it was warm for Duluth standards, it actually felt cold to me because before yesterday, my last run was Friday. Saturday we traveled. My last run was Friday, and it was like 88 degrees. So now I come back to 45, and it feels cold. It was it was a weird sensation because I know that this was a crazy warm day. We're recording on Sunday, and this was a crazy warm day, and normally I probably would have been shorts and a long sleeve shirt, and that would have been it or something, but I felt cold today.
Short sleeve. Like nothing.
Yeah, maybe, probably. Shirtless. Yeah, shirtless. Well, yeah.
So now you're back to good running conditions from the 80s.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah.
In my opinion, anyways.
It is so much. I'll tell you what, it was hard running down there, 88 degrees and humid because you're right on the Caribbean. Yeah. And it was really nice. I'm not going to complain necessarily, but it took some getting used to.
Yeah.
It took some getting used to for sure.
The contrast is good for you, though.
It is. I think it kind of is. It's sort of, you know, it's like when you're running in that pretty warm weather, it's like being in a sauna. Uh-huh. You're sweating just like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You shower, and then you're still sweating after your shower. You know, so then you hop in the pool, and then you get back in the shower or something. And yeah. But it was worth it. I'll take it for sure.
Yeah, good. So yeah, it's February 23rd right now.
Happy birthday, Mike, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. yeah, still not a ton going on in the race world. Should we just jump right into results here?
Yeah, let's jump right into results.
Okay, so we have some results from the Hartley 10K, which was part of the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. That was on February 8th. There's a snowshoe division and a run division for the 10K. Snowshoe division was won by Rob Class with a 47:20, and then Carolyn Rudd with a 126:31. The run division was won by Ben Welch with a 45:06, and Leslie Semler, 50:49. The following weekend was the Book Across the Bay, which I believe is another 10K approximately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, pretty similar. They have a snowshoe division and a run division. So again, the winner in the snowshoe division was Rob Class with a 46:51 and Grace Hogan with a 56:08. The run was won by Nick Adams, 51:04, and also on the ladies' side, Kathleen Thorne with a 55:39.
So the snowshoes were faster than the run?
Yes, for the guys anyways.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Close either way.
And, yeah,
I mean,
close in the group.
So that Book Across the Bay, it's from what, Washburn to Bayfield?
Ashland to...
Ashland to Washburn or
something like that. Yeah, I've never done it.
So
it starts in Ashland.
In Wisconsin, across the frozen Shawamigan Bay.
Yep.
Kind of a cool event. Yeah, I've never been there, but it certainly looks cool, and it's big. A lot of runners, skiers.
Yep, they got the skis too. Yeah, so they put the little illuminaries
out
at night along the course and everything. Yeah.
So nice job. I know some Duluthians were over there, so... Frozen 4-hour and 5K was the next race we have results for, which was yesterday in Leicester Park here in Duluth, and that was the last event in the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. The 4-hour was won by Matt Eidenschink with a total of 28.7 miles, and so 4 hours, you know, you just run as many miles as you can within the time limit, so... pretty fast, getting close to 50K there for Matt, former Duluth resident in the Twin Cities. And then Leslie, another podium, first placement for Leslie with 26.9 miles, which is not too far behind Matt. Leslie is running really good. Excellent job. And the 5K race, so the 4 hours on the 5K loop, and there was also just the 5K option to run you know, one and done. Jeremy Witt took that race 21 minutes and 55 seconds, and Catherine Long on the ladies' side won with a 27:35. And so that's about all the results that we have right now. Upcoming races, kind of the same song and dance here. Not a ton going on. We do have a first year event coming to the area, kind of Moose Lake, Minnesota. Frozen Moose. It looks like there's a few options for the trail run and snowshoe. There's a 2 miler, a 5 mile, and a 3 hour fixed time run. So that looks pretty fun. That's in Moose Lake on February 29th. So I'm not sure if they have a website. It looks like it's on Ultra Sign Up. So check that out. And then the next day, Sunday, March 1st, is the Stride, Ride, and Glide Triathlon in Superior, Wisconsin, third annual. And so this is a 5K run, 5K bike, 5K Nordic ski kind of triathlon style event. So, yeah, that's Superior Municipal Forest on March 1st. That's about it for upcoming races. So
cool. Yeah, not a lot.
I know you were gone in Mexico. Do you have a trails report for Mexico? Or
you know, unfortunately, I was on the roads a lot, although I was on a golf course for a little bit, so that was pretty nice, but yeah,
nice.
I wasn't doing a lot of trail running.
Yeah, yeah. The trails report in Duluth area, like you mentioned, Tony, it's been really warm, unseasonably warm the past couple days in Duluth. I think the trails are going to hold up pretty nice. It's just such a firm,
yeah,
deep snowpack out there right now, and I don't think that they're going to be soupy or bad, and I think it's supposed to be cold, you know, coming. That might make some ice situations, mm-hmm, but I think trails are in pretty good shape. You know, of course, if it is getting too soupy and you're making footprints, you're making divots, stay off the trails. But I think despite kind of the almost 40 degrees, you know, I was in Chester today, actually, and it was in great shape.
Nice.
It was in great shape. Yeah, so get out and enjoy it while we can, you know, and I think March is still, we're not out of the woods yet, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll definitely have another storm or two.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about a gear review you got?
Yeah, I got some new shoes. I got some new running shoes, kind of a everyday trainer kind of thing, mostly just to complement my other pair of everyday trainers. My typical go-to shoe for just everyday running is the Brooks Transcend. I've been wearing that for a couple of years now, and that shoe works really well for me for just getting in the miles. But I felt like, well, partially it's just curiosity, partially because I'm a shoe geek, partially because I just felt like it was time to maybe complement that a little bit with something else. I think it's kind of good for the body to change it up every once in a while with your shoes, so you kind of react a little bit different. And so I went with an ASICS shoe called the Glide Ride. It's a dumb name, first of all, Glide Ride. It's just dumb. It really bothers me. But the shoe is pretty cool, actually. It's pretty soft, pretty plush. I will say, when you think soft plush, the next word often is Hoka-like. I guess it kind of is. It's got a relatively higher stack height, but it doesn't quite feel like a Hoka to me. It's not quite that marshmallowy and squishy. It's still got a little firmness to it. There's a... Mm-hmm. There's a plate in the midsole. In fact, when you're just holding the shoe and you try to bend it with your hands, it's extremely stiff.
Hmm.
You don't notice that running because it's built on a rocker platform, so it kind of has a rocking chair. It kind of rolls that way. So even though it's stiff, the shoe flows in that whole foot strike process really well. And so the shoe kind of – so you reduce a little bit of foot fatigue because your foot doesn't have to do a lot of the bending. The shoe just kind of rocks for you. That's the point of that kind of relatively rigid plate in there. It's not a carbon plate or anything. It's just a plastic plate. But I don't know. It's kind of a cool shoe. I brought it to Mexico with me, so I did all my runs in that shoe down there. I think probably right now I've got pushing 50 miles on it, maybe a touch more, maybe 60. Yeah, it's kind of nice. And it is a nice complement to my Brooks Transcend because it is different. The Glide Ride has a 5 millimeter drop. The Transcend, I believe, has an 8 millimeter drop, so a little difference there. And it's definitely something that I can sort of feel a little bit. I feel it more so in the I'm wearing the Transcend than I can tell. In fact, I rode my Transcend today for my 12-miler, and definitely could feel that higher heel in there. And I actually kind of prefer that higher heel myself.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it's kind of a cool shoe, and I'm glad I got it. It is a nice compliment to the Transcend, for sure.
Yeah, kind of lengthen the life of your Transcends now and do a little switch off.
Yep, little switch off every once in a while. Just change up the way the body reacts with the ground.
I think
that's a good thing to do. I think it's good to help, number one, just neuromuscular reasons. I think that's good. I think, two, mentally, it just kind of creates a little different sensation, and I think it sort of keeps you alive a little bit mentally, like a little more awake whilst you're out there running. I think that's kind of a nice thing, rather than just kind of every run sort of feels the same in terms of how the shoe is riding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've always believed in switching up the shoes a little bit.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Next, what I'm into. I think there's kind of two things that we're both into that are kind of interconnected. I'll say the first one is the marathon trials, which are next weekend. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun to watch, huh?
That's going to be super cool. So much depth on both the men's and the women's side. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah. I've never been excited about the marathon trials, and it seems like this year there's just more hype about it and more people talking about it. And, like, I've never watched the trials. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or what.
Yeah, I think the trials has kind of been a funny event. It was a pretty big deal for a long time, and then I think it was the year 2000 when we only had one guy make the Olympics that year. We had first, second, third from Americans, but the second and third guys didn't hit the qualifying time to make it to the Olympics, even though they were second and third in the U.S. trials. So that was a real downtime in American running. Rod DeHaven was the guy who went. That was kind of a sad time in 2000, but then, you know, we started getting a little bit better on the world scene. 2004, we had two people actually medal in the Olympics, Dina Castor and Meb for the U.S. Meb got a silver, Dina got a bronze in 2004. And things have really increased from there, and then we had Shalane and Kara and Dez were always, like, boom right there, and we had some, you know, we had a guy like Brian Sell from the Hansen's group, who I think was like a D3 runner, maybe D2, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't D1. Just kind of a working class blue collar runner, as they say, and he made the Olympic team, you know, one year. So that was really cool. And now recently, like you said, Mike, the hype is up. Mm-hmm. I think partially there's a couple of reasons. One is social media. Social media is just bigger and bigger
Strava,
all the time.
Strava
and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and podcasts like this and web pages, and people have their web page. But there's a real rise in sort of that serious amateur.
Yeah.
There's so many more guys that know that they're not going to make the Olympic team, but they're busting their guys and gals who are busting their butts to make the trials. That's become a big thing to make the trials now.
Right.
And it's become cool again. I think it's super cool to see is these kind of really focused, really serious amateur runners that are still working, you know, sometimes 40, 50 hours a week, but busting their butts and putting in 100-mile weeks and that kind of a thing. And I think it's super cool. So, yeah, the Olympic trials are going to be really cool to see.
So I was kind of blown away just looking at the start list, you know, and I, you know, kind of the main guys like Galen Rupp and Jared Warder are on the list. But first of all, and just this is me not paying attention, like there is a lot. I mean, this is a pretty big race, you know, like what, 100 names on either side almost, men and women. I mean, there's a lot. And then I started looking at the team these are within, like Minnesota, I'm going to say this wrong, but Minnesota Project, I forget what.
Distance Elite.
The Minnesota Distance Elite, It's like, there's a lot of Minnesotans running and former Minnesotans, people that names you kind of recognize. And so I think that's really exciting too, just like, you know, kind of that connection of, you know, these are people that might be at, you know, a local race or, you know, Twin Cities race that you're at.
Those people, you don't even know it, but they've ran by you at Grandma's. If you're cheering, they've gone by you. They either have gone by you in the half marathon or in the full marathon.
Sometimes
you kind of forget that there's professionals running by. You just see, wow, there's another fast guy, there's another fast gal.
Yeah.
But those are legit, legit people sometimes.
It's
really, really cool to see.
So that'd be fun to watch. Where are you going to watch the trials at?
So I'll be down at Grandma's Sports Garden, which gets into the next thing of what I'm into, and that's the Gearing Up for Grandma's event coming up this Saturday, which is going to be really fun. We're doing a group run first thing in the morning at 8 a.m. down at Grandma's. There's going to be three different distances. Everybody's welcome to come down and attend. Probably going to be probably three distances, 3 miles, 5 miles, 8 mile option. And if people want to go a little longer, they certainly can. Everybody knows the Gearing Up for Grandma's event that Grandma's puts on every year. After the run, there's, and this year it's new to be at the Sports Garden. After the run, there's going to be a lot of really cool things with some breakout clinics on different running topics to go to. And then at 11 o'clock, there's a viewing of the Olympic trials. So at down at the Sports Garden. So roughly 11 to 2 or something like that. So I'll definitely be there watching and cheering that.
Nice.
Folks on. Yeah.
So that's Duluth Saturday. What time does the run start?
The run starts at 8 a.m. So
that kind of kicks the whole event off,
That
right?
kicks the whole thing off. So I'm helping out kind of leading that run off with, again, like anybody's welcome to come down and take part in that. So come on down and have fun. It looks like, I was peeking at the weather, and it looks like it's going to be a relatively decent day. Not quite this kind of warm like this Sunday was, but, you know, high in the mid-20s, lows in the mid to upper teens. So it's going to be fine for Duluth standards to go run. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Cool. See everyone down there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
And then finally, I guess,
I have one more thing that I'm into.
Oh, good.
And this is not even running related, but I'm reading a book about Ulysses S. Grant, and it's really good. And I didn't know much about Ulysses S. Grant, but he's a really cool guy.
Now you do?
Yeah, now I do. Yeah.
Can you draw any conclusions to your running from Ulysses S. Grant?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always kind of have a little bit like, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. So running, like I was thinking about this the other day, like, honestly, I don't know if an hour goes by in a day that I don't think about something related to running of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just, it's what I like, I
guess.
Mostly
to me, it's like, I got to go run.
Well, yeah, that, or it's like I'm reading about shoes, or I'm reading somebody's training book. I don't know. It's just constant. It's constant in my head. Or just like looking at social media stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of times when I'm reading a non-running book, using my little air quotes there, I'm still thinking of it like a runner, or trying to interpret certain things. Like, you know, obviously General Grant was an amazing general, still respected to this day for some of his military strategies.
Yeah.
But one thing that made him such a great general is that he really respected everyone's viewpoint. He was very calm. He wasn't the kind of typical more military general and kind of harsh and kind of ego driven and that kind of thing. So yeah, if anything, I would take that from my coaching experience, or try to emulate that as much as I can in my coaching experience.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a cool guy.
That's a good way to think about the interview that we have when discussing training methodologies. Keep an open mind.
Yeah, keep an open mind for sure, because, yeah, there's not really necessarily a right or a wrong answer. There's a lot of great theories out there. And it's fun to learn about him, I think.
Yeah.
So
besides Ulysses S. Grant, do you have a shout out?
I have a shout out. Yeah. To you for winning the series, the Duluth Winter Trail Series.
Thanks.
How many races did you do out of that series?
I did 2 out of 5. So yeah.
But it's a benefit for being fast.
Yeah, and for doing the long ones.
Yeah, exactly. And the long ones. Yeah. So congratulations. Who was the winner's winner? Women's winner.
Women's winner was Aurora Koth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
So that was good too. And I think she did all of them. So she's more of like the deserving winner. But we both got free entries to all of the series races next year.
Oh,
so
nice.
I think Aurora and I hopefully will see each other
there
again.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet. And you also, another shout out for you real quick. It just made me think, but you did your ski race.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, right?
Uh-huh.
That was right before I left for vacation or something.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you since. But how did that go?
Fun. It was hard.
Yeah.
It's a different type of racing.
That was a good report, by the way.
It's a different type of racing, for sure.
Yeah.
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 It's fun.
You know what it reminded me of? I did a couple of cyclocross events a handful of years ago. My buddy Shuni got me into that. Thanks, Dave. Jerk. that is hard stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave and some of his friends are like, oh, you'd be really good at it. You've got this great endurance base. You'd be really good at it. Oh, my God. No.
Yeah.
I'm so bad. That's hard stuff. And it reminds me probably a little bit of that. I've never done a ski race.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, it's like red line all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty much when you're cyclocross racing.
I felt that way for sure. But I think, and maybe you can attest to this with cyclocross racing, and I think with racing, so much of it is being comfortable around all these other people.
Yes.
And so, like, even I think running, if you're not used to running, that could be the hardest part of the event, is like you're in this domain where it's like all these people are suffering. How fast should I go? Whatever.
Yeah.
And like skiing, it's like I'm not confident in my abilities.
Right.
Like I get jammed up and fall down, and my skis are crisscrossed, you know, and like, and it's just like, don't fall in front of this person, you know.
Yeah.
And so like, that was, I think, the biggest challenge was not the physical, you know, aspect of it, like pushing for that, you know, that long, but it was just like, my skills aren't very sharp, you know, and I'm
totally
just not comfortable in this big group of people, and there's people around me, and like, you know, it's just like kind of that almost like anxiety of just like, I shouldn't be here, I'm not good enough,
yeah,
type thing.
It's nerve-wracking for sure.
But on the flip side, that's why doing different types of races, I think, is so fun, because you put yourself in this uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
You get through it,
yeah,
you know,
and then you can learn a ton.
Yeah, and then you're one of them a little bit more, right?
Yep.
Yeah, right? And same with, like, cyclocross. I can only imagine that's incredibly nerve-wracking. Bikes everywhere, mud, yeah. That seems
and the crazy thing too about cyclocross is I would ride single speed, but they would run the single speed with some of the, like, I forget the slower geared, I forget the category, Cat 3 or whatever, Cat 5 mm-hmm. or whatever they called it, with some of the slower geared bikes. So that's still kind of a mix of speeds and abilities a little bit, unless you're a really fast single speeder.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of the races I did, the single speeders would go out first, but we're almost always going to be slower than, especially the geared guys.
Yeah.
So that was really nerve-wracking, because you knew, boom, we go, and then you knew that soon enough those gear guys are going to be right on you, and you're
going
to be in their way. So that was really tough, too, to deal with, and anyway. Yeah.
All I thought several times when I was doing the Vasalopit was, stick to running, Mike.
yeah.
Like, I know what I'm doing. I feel comfortable out there, you know, running in, like, any race. It was fun, though.
If I go ski, even, like, just by myself, like, at Leicester, in a second I know someone's behind me, the nerves instantly go right up.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm probably going to fall in front of this person, and they're going to have to get out of, like, maneuver around me.
You just stop Minnesota Nice, like, go around.
Yep, just go ahead. I'm just going casual today.
Yeah.
But really, I'm, like, dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up episode 16, our rundown section, huh?
Yeah, we'll get to the interview.